Yeah, no, trust me. I thought about, like, Scott Lang would have done it.
He would have thought about it at the very least.
Like, Cap, what if I just flap his button, blow him up from the inside? And Cap would have, like, Cap Antonio would have to be like, shit, that's actually, like, a really good idea, Scott. Go for it.
That'd be so fucking wild.
Just clenches and squishes Scott in his Titan butthole.
He throws one of those expanding discs and hits the fucking thing on his prostate and it just blows out the back of him.
And welcome to Bog Talk, everybody.
welcome.
yep, we're not even gonna let you listen to that whole thing. Maybe someday it'll get posted on a special project we have in the future, but for now you're just gonna have to wonder what led to that statement. I'll tell you what led to it. We are talking today. We are finally here. We have arrived
at the end.
The end of Phase 3. Both the Avengers Infinity War and Endgame will be covering today.
What I will call the end of the era where people just widely accepted the fact that, like, MCU movies were just pretty good. Nowadays, it's like, man, fucking every other thing is fucking woke garbage MCU fucking bullshit.
We talked a little bit during the Captain Marvel about how that kind of started there.
Yeah.
Because all of the, and I'm more comfortable just flat out saying it now, because if you're listening, come and get me. You want to be with me? All these fucking incels that are like, hey, a pretty girl doesn't smile enough.
Bro, like, right? Ugh.
Like, dude, fact of the fucking matter is, nobody from these movies, except for Kevin Feige, knows we, or really anybody, exists. We just pay their paychecks for them to get paid $15 million to stand in front of a green screen and read lines written by a far less attractive person in a writer's room.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing against my writer's room peeps. Much love to all of you. But it's that's where it comes from. And now that, like, we had Captain Marvel happen, they pitched a fit and they didn't change the actress like they changed Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
And as if that would have done anything. Now they're going to start lashing out. And yes, there is more quote unquote wokeness.
Bro, I fucking hate that. Cause like every time somebody even gives you the word woke in a thing, it literally just means I don't like it when women or people that don't look like me are the fucking lead. And it's like, then go fuck yourself, dude. Not every movie has to be made with like this fucking image that you think. The proper
word is representation.
Yeah.
Is what these movies really, dude, to be fucking flat out, really lacked. Most of the MCU was a bunch of white people doing white people shit.
Uh-huh.
With a token character in pretty much every movie. So it's not that far off, and I'm not like bashing on them for it. It's just, you know, that's what sells.
Right,
unfortunately, yeah. You know, strong, pretty white men battling creatures of darkness sells more at the time. And, you know, then Black Panther came out as what, like the fourth, fifth most successful one behind like most of the Avengers movies. I think Civil War,
Spider-Man.
No, yeah. I'm talking mainline MCU entries.
I mean, Spider-Man technically is.
You know what I mean? Disney Marvel.
Right.
Because the Spider-Man movies are all like cross-promoted, two studios doing their thing.
Well, yeah, it's technically a Sony movie that Marvel puts out.
Yeah. That's what sold, and that's what the woke thing, it's representation. You know, we're getting Kamala Khan, we got America Chavez.
Yeah, people are saying, and she you, and it's really fucking annoying.
God, dude, fuck off with that. The same way the fucking herstory bullshit can go fuck itself.
Herstory. Dude, whoever fucking decided that, like, these, like, buzzwords that are basically just like, dude, oh, like women are being fucking...
That's where it all fucking comes from. I swear to God, it's fucking rage bait bullshit that gets taken as fact.
Yeah.
Woke, the term woke was, like, thrown around at the beginning of COVID during all the unrest in America as, like, instead of saying to someone like, you need to wake up and see what's going on in this country, it got shortened to get woke probably by fucking 4chan. And it got thrown around by both sides way too much and completely lost all sorts of meaning. and ended right back where it probably came from, right back in 4chan, where people are like, MCU's so woke, dude. What part of having a non-white male person play the lead in the show, talking Ms. Marvel now, like, what about that is woke?
Nothing. It's literally nothing.
There's nothing, like, they're not like, she's, like, every scene, they're like, oh, she's so much better than Iron Man. Oh, she can right. kick Captain America's ass. Like,
right, exactly. They're not, like, being like, oh, man, fuck the old white dudes. Fuck them all. They're basically just like, yeah, and these are the people that are, you know, coming after them. Like, these are the,
new heroes. Oh, what do you mean Hawkeye's going to be a girl now?
Dude, or, like, fucking Lady Thor.
Yeah, oh, Lady Thor. Just 30-year-old storylines, man.
No, Lady Thor is only, like, 15. Something like that.
That's it?
Yeah. I guess, like, fairly recent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it was controversial when that happened, too. But also, fucking Miles Morales was fucking controversial when that happened. And he's one of the best Spider-Men ever.
That's the thing. You hit the nail on the head right there. Is that so much nerd culture is very white.
And, reactionary.
These guys get reactionary every single time something changes. Do you remember when Iceman got married to a man?
Oh, yeah.
People lost their fucking shit. And then there was...
You're telling me Iceman's gay? Yes. Oh. Yeah. Well, I'm mad about
that. Well, that doesn't make any sense. You know what doesn't make any sense? He shoots fucking ice!
You know what doesn't make any sense? Him falling in love with a power leech that would fucking kill him if they actually were intimate.
Yeah, at 16 years old, he's going to fall in love with the one girl he can't touch.
Yeah.
Unless he's, I don't know, like proto emo in the X-Men universe.
Or he gives himself a cold shower every time, you know? It just like, it like washes through his body instead. So like he just kind of like starts his power at the top of his head and just like makes like a cold shoe go down his whole body.
Oh, I didn't think about that bit of Iceman's power.
Because, like, I mean, he's probably not cold most of the time, but, like, he could realistically make himself cold,
and right? He could never be hot.
Yeah.
Like, if he could, like, do whatever he wanted in the desert, just fine.
Oh, man.
Sick of sunburn, though. Could, like, walk around naked, but, like, you could wear a full, like, you know, fucking sun protective gear. Okay, we're talking about Avengers Endgame, Infinity War.
We're over here like, yo, dude, you think Iceman can walk through the desert?
That's the kind of stuff that now that we're up at the end of this series here, we're going to start, we're going to get a little weirder after this. I feel like we got Multiverse Murder Fest coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun to do.
We're going
to
be taking a little Bog Talk break there and dumping that. Dumping it all into Multiverse. The Bog Talk episodes that'll be coming out will probably be more covering what goes on in that.
Yeah, because realistically, the only MCU project that I really want to cover is Love and Thunder. Because, like, with Ms. Marvel, it's a coming of age teen story that, like, I'm probably not going to be a huge fan of, but, like, I'm going to enjoy it and watch it all the same.
Absolutely. The same way, like, so a lot of the MCU, I think it's, you know, important, good thing about stuff, it's important for us to say, we don't cover a lot of the MCU, like Disney Plus stuff. Definitely frankly, not doing Moon Knight. What's that?
Definitely not doing Moon Knight.
And it's not because they're not good stuff. In my opinion, the Disney Plus stuff is some of the best stuff that's come out. But the fact of the matter is, most of it, while it does, yes, advance the story of those characters in the MCU or introduce new characters, it all deals with a lot of stuff that, frankly, two fairly well-adjusted white men in their late 20s, early 30s have no right covering or commentating on.
Pretty much.
I've never dealt with DID. I've never had PTSD, nor have I watched a purple alien rip a magic stone out of my lover's head after I tearfully had to kill him to prevent said purple alien from getting touched. I've never had to do that. Damn, bro,
you never had to do that? Shit.
No, I know. It's a fairly common occurrence that people had to go through, but since I'm not one of those people that happens to all the time, I can't bring myself to comment on it. Like, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, we've brought it up before. It's hard for me to be able to comment on that because I'm not a war vet. I'm not black. I've never had to deal with that kind of discrimination. Sure, I got called, you know, the F word a couple times in high school, but like that was just because I wore eyeliner, not because I was sexually attracted to men.
Right.
So like, you know, we could comment on like the stuff that happens in there, but like
John Walker bad. That's basically John all Walker I say bad.
Madame Hydra for 20 seconds. She's the reason Hawkeye. Hawkeye comes and it's like, I've never had to deal with fucking being a college age girl and dealing with my family getting into illegal shit and my everything about me being a lie and my hero. But like, I've none of this stuff is not, it's not that it's not relatable. It's that there's not enough meat of a Marvel story for us to be able to do a full, like, episode by episode breakdown. We tried to do it with WandaVision. That's how we started this, really.
And yeah, like, doing WandaVision
and
stuff.
Really, when you go back and listen to that, it's a lot of us trying to commentate on the grief angle. And, you know, we both experienced, you know, loss. We can both kind of comment on that, but not in like any kind of way that's like more profound than what the show is already showing. So,
true.
So I feel like eventually once we've got some more Marvel shows out there, 'cause there's what, 5 now?
WandaVision, Loki, What If, there's Falcon, there's Hawkeye, Moon Knight, that's 6.
6.
Miss so, like, Marvel starts next week.
We'll eventually start up a Disney Plus, like, each episode will be a series, I'm sure, of like,
right,
once they all start to tie together, because right now so much of the Disney Plus stuff kind of lies outside of what we know, quote unquote, is going on. Right now we know Wong is contacting like Shang-Chi and people. I mean, like, hey, the Avengers are gone.
What do we do about that?
We need to get more people around.
We need supers.
We don't, and we just heard about incursions. So, like, you know, we've got a while before we see Captain America, played by Anthony Mackie, team up with whoever is going to be the next Iron Man, and like Spider-Man shows up and no one knows who he is. Like, it's going to be a long time before we see that. So these,
well, they'll know Spider-Man, but they won't know his identity.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like Spider-Man will show up and like, it could be anyone in the suit. They don't even have to show Tom Holland. He could do voice work.
Oh, true.
And he could just, we could have Spider-Man show up in these movies. So, you know, it's tough, man, to be able to cover these series without being able to, but I want to at some point touch on how they affect the MCU going forward.
Right, yeah. Honestly, I feel like we could even condense it to a certain point where, like, we don't have to even go over, like, big broad strokes. We can just kind of go over, like, important plot beats that we're just like, yep, that adds to this, adds to that.
Because we had to, like, really figure out using, like, site clues when, like, Spider-Man takes place before Hawkeye, but Hawkeye takes place before Falcon, right?
I thought Falcon took place pretty much like right when like the blip was done. It was like a few months after the blip.
Was okay.
And then, it was WandaVision first, and then it's Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And then later on, it'd be Hawkeye towards the end of that year.
Spider-Man 2, then Spider-Man 3 right behind it, then Hawkeye.
Yeah, so it's been like maybe like 2 years after the blip. So it's like 2025 in their timeline now.
Yeah, so yeah, they're moving right along.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll eventually cover all that. But before we do, we got to talk about that big purple alien and
dun,
all those rocks.
Dun, dun, dun. I don't know what the fucking theme goes. DMC claim.
I love it. The Avengers theme is the only theme in the MCU except for the fight in the beginning of Winter Soldier when he's fighting the dude on the boat.
All right.
Batroc. That's the only other like audio from the MCU that like when I hear that, I can't even mimic it now. The music from that, I can recognize that, and I can recognize the Avengers theme, especially because it's just recycled from Buffy anyways. But any other music from any MCU movie, couldn't place it. Like if you just played me a clip from like one of the main character themes from one of the other 29 MCU movies. Nope.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to either.
The MCU's choice of music has not been stellar. But the Avengers always is, and it always has that fantastic intro. It always gets better. And Infinity War is no exception. You get the whole Thor ship right at the end of Ragnarok. It swings right in.
Oh, yeah. And the fucking, you go inside and you see everybody's fucking basically dead. Hulk is getting beat around like a fucking 6-year-old.
That haunting ass, like, fine, even in death, you are children of Thanos. Like,
yeah, dude.
He's creepy as fuck. I love Ma.
Fucking Thanos manhandling the Hulk is fucking crazy, though. Like, literally, it's like Thanos is beating up a grade schooler. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So, like, he just does it so, like...
Loki gets to deliver that line. Nice little callback to Avengers. We have a Hulk. It starts right off, man. Thanos has two of the stones. We don't get to see him get the Power Stone. We just get a reference later that he stole it when he decimated Xandar. Just kind of wipe that planet that was a main part of two movies just off with a line of dialogue.
Yeah, he was just like, yeah, I went to Xandar. Oh, yeah,
Glenn Close and John C. Reilly, they're all fucking dead.
Yeah, Nova Corps, barely know her.
Jesus. Exactly. Though. He's got the two stones. Thor, what's his fucking name? Idris Elba.
Heimdall.
Heimdall sends Hulk back to Earth with the last bit of his magic before getting fucking right through the heart.
Right.
Idris Elba out in three lines of dialogue. Then Loki gets got. Thor's all brokenhearted watching Loki get his neck snapped, which
was a fucking crazy scene.
It was. Watching that being how they opened, I remember sitting in the theater and being like, fuck it, they just opened by killing Tom Hiddleston. Like, fuck off.
Right, stakes are super high, even though he gets a TV show.
No resurrections this time. That's why, yeah, when they announced Loki the TV show, I was like, god damn it. Like, right, I really liked Loki, and it's integral to the beginning of Phase 4. But, like, yeah, it really kind of undercuts that whole Destiny. Now, granted, it undercuts it for us, but in the MCU, Loki's still dead. Thor doesn't.
Like, yeah, that version of Loki is still dead. Thor's got that back tattoo in Love and Thunder.
Oh, yep.
You bastard, you flicked too hard.
Yeah, that trailer was fucking hilarious.
Good shit. But yeah, so you get the death of Heimdall, Loki, another half of the Asgardians, because apparently at least half of them got off on the escape hatch.
Yep. Korg and Meek.
Survived. Yeah, Korg and Meek got out of there fine. I think Valkyrie and the crew just kind of like jumped ship because they knew that they were getting docked.
Yeah, I mean, they got attacked by the Dreadnought, so.
Uh-huh.
But then, yeah, back to the music, it's, you know, he gets, we cut to Strange and Wong having their, you know, witty conversation of, like, trying to get a sandwich. Have you make him a metaphysical ham on rye? You know, I thought it was kind of funny.
You gotta get the Hulk Bernie Fudge.
And then, yeah, Hulk crashes through the ceiling. Thanos is coming. Who?
Yeah, I thought that was funny that the Hulk did the whole Silver Surfer thing from the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Forgot that that was the reference there.
Yeah.
Even though they had that like shot right from the panel of seeing the streak in the reflection of the Sanctum Sanctorum's big glass mirror thing or window. Love that shot.
Thanos is coming.
But yeah, then he says, who? And fucking...
It's like, come on. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, like you see the...
Yeah, the fucking big reveal of the title. Infinity War. Boom, boom, boom.
We won't go full on line by line with these movies. That would be like 6 hours of movie to cover.
Right.
What I do want to cover, I kind of want to do the broad strokes of this movie. And the first one that I want to cover is the fact that from that moment, he lands on Earth. It's about 12 hours to the snap.
Yeah, so, like, they get Tony, they do their whole big fucking New York battle, they cut off Corvus Midnight, Corvus Midnight, was it Corvus Glaive? It's Proxima Midnight.
Proxima Midnight, Corvus Glaive.
So I think it's Corvus Glaive's hand, the big hunkin' guy,
yeah. Like,
and Wong slices off his hand and leaves him in Antarctica.
Yeah, they, But yeah, so I mean, because they show up, I'm gonna venture, I guess, say 20 minutes.
Yeah, because they literally Hulk. Just jumped a portal, got Stark, and they were like, "All right, here's the fucking plan." And Stark's like, "Well, shit."
Yeah, but, and then yeah, all that shit starts going off. Now it's shown that those ships show up against the sky. I want to know why Friday didn't alert Tony that something was there. Something entered the upper atmosphere, as she tells him later in Endgame. Where was the world governments when that ship was approaching New York? Why did they have to wait to see everyone running around outside like, "Oh, Doc, are you moving your hair?" "Not currently." "Ha ha 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 ha. Aliens are back in New York, Tony. This is the very thing you've been dreading."
Right, like, this is the nightmares you've been having for years. It slipped
right past your fucking net, dude. There is now a ship dropping aliens on the fucking streets of New York, and you are just inside cracking wise with Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Who, and this will become important later, always calls him Stark. Keep that in mind.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that's
very condescending to Tony.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, like, it was, I think it was to leave the fact that, towards the end, it's, like, way more poignant when, like, he actually does call him Tony that one time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's exactly what I was going to say. He does the 14 million viewings, 14,600,000 or whatever. And then as soon as he comes out of that, he calls him Tony and only calls him Tony after that. And you know what? Since we're just covering it all, I'm just going to throw it right in there. Motherfucker was dreamwalking and using the time stone to speed run realities.
See, I think it would have been more of like a recognized thing if it was dreamwalking, though.
Would it?
Yeah.
Three people in the world know about the Darkhold.
Right, but like, it's not like Strange had ever been in contact with the Darkhold before then. Why would he know that magic?
He knew dark magics. He had all the other ones.
Dark magics, but that's chaos magic. It's a completely different kind.
I don't know, man. I look at all the similarities, like what he did there of like, "Oh, I viewed alternate timelines." He's already shown that the time stone like rewinds you, like your events. So it would make sense that he's dreamwalking into other realities, dropping himself in and trying different things and experimenting. We've already seen that he's a cold, callous motherfucker. We already know,
right?
Doctor Strange is in like.
I don't know. I definitely think it's just within the laws of the own, like the time stone itself. Like, why wouldn't it be able to view alternate versions of timelines and stuff?
I guess I don't know.
It's an infinity gem. Like,
but it, part I, of the I guess ether when of the we universe. Saw him using it, he could use it. It's only used to rewind and. I mean, it only does.
Well, that was like the basics that he like learned like by himself when he was like fucking around with it, really. Like, he had to lock in that one time loop thing to actually get to Dormammu, and that was a completely different power.
I think he dreamwalked. That's my stance.
It's a good theory. I don't think it's quite that, just because like he hadn't been in contact with like chaos magics before. Because like he did know dark magics from like the library and like Kamertage and stuff.
Wanda was a thing.
Like, yeah, Wanda was a thing, but like she didn't know that it was chaos magic. She didn't know that until Agatha Harkness told her and showed her the Darkhold.
I guess it's true.
Because then Wanda spent months reading the Darkhold by herself.
What we need is we need to make noise about this and get Kevin Feige, friend of the show, to come out and
just give us the rundown.
What, just say magics, if he man. Was or not.
Right.
That's all I want. Was he dreamwalking in Endwar? Because we are in Infinity War, because we see later on in Multiverse of Madness that Strange was able to help defeat him, but only after dreamwalking. Like,
right, yeah,
and then in Multiverse of Madness, his eye opens up the corruption. So, like, I think that's what it is. I think he was dreamwalking and using the time stone to not just speed run the universes so that he could do 14 million runs of the battle with Thanos. I think he was using it to cover his tracks as well by, like, you know, rewinding to right before he dreamwalks so that no one's like, "Hey, you were dreamwalking."
Hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting theory.
But that would also mean that he doomed 14 million universes.
Potentially, yeah.
To incursions, which...
They say that it's depending on, like, how big of a footprint you leave.
Yeah.
So, like, if he didn't really, like, do anything to those universes, then, like, it wouldn't cost. He
directly affected the battle with Thanos 14 million times.
Right, but, like, that's what I mean, is, like, if he was...
universe changing.
If he was using it to rewind time, though, then, like, he never technically did that.
True, and he could have... No, because he always sat there. I mean, he could have been speed running our timeline 14 million times.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
honestly, if anything, he created more problems for TVA members.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there's a whole division that just was like, all right, what are we doing this weekend? We got to go keep pruning those fucking strange branches.
What are we doing this weekend? You know exactly what we're doing this fucking weekend, Tim. God damn it. We're on strange duty.
Yeah, that guy's an asshole. So yeah, that's jumping a bit ahead though to that.
Right. Cause like before that you get like the, oh, Spider-Man's on the bus to his field trip and he's gonna get his spider sense when his hair's standing up on end. Mm-hmm. Cause he didn't see the giant fucking goddamn UFO in the sky like everybody else.
Again, it's New York City of all places. It's like,
yeah. And like the, how big that thing is in the sky. That thing is miles upon miles
massive.
Wide.
And like, just the people on the streets in the immediate vicinity are like, run away from it. Like, I feel like at some point the World Council, World Security Council has got to be like, all right, just start shooting fucking nukes at it.
Mm-hmm.
They had their fucking shot and the Avengers are toast anyways.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well,
at well, I mean, point, you do Sokovia see what happened because of the Sokovia Accords. It cuts to fucking, the Rhodey meeting with, Cap and all them,
right?
When they with the after Proxima and other guy, I can never remember his name. He was a shitty character. With the spear, try to steal the stone from Vision.
You know, now I'm thinking that might actually be Corvus Glaive. Yeah, because I don't remember what the big guy's name is. Then
just big guy, that guy.
Something dark sounding. Like
it had something to do with nighttime and the color black, I'm sure. It's gonna bother me. Can't remember. Anyways, that the world leaders, after a fucking alien ship shows down and kidnaps Doctor Strange, Tony Stark, and Spider-Man, fucking Thunderbolt Ross is like sitting at a fucking committee meeting, like talking shit to Rhodes after Rhodes, like, you know, we would have the Avengers here. And he's like, your talent for horse shit rivals my own. And it's like, aliens are back!
Ah! Right, yeah. It's like the thing that people have been preparing for ever since the fucking attack in New
York.
Know,
in yeah, you know that thing that happened fucking 8 years ago that like decimated a city and was only stopped by the Avengers?
Yeah,
they're back and the Avengers aren't, and you guys are sitting around like looking at fucking paperwork.
So stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a, oh, it's a stupid like plot hole in the movie. That just shows like how fucked the world is with mm-hmm. the bureaucrats in charge. That's then Cap comes in and this is my favorite Cap in the whole MCU is post Civil War, pre-snap Cap, where he is just, he's done. He's done with everyone's bullshit. And fucking, he walks in and he's like, you think just because the world is on fire, all is forgiven? And he goes, oh, I'm way past asking for, or we're way past asking for permission, and I'm not here for forgiveness. The world just lost their best defender. Like, we're here to fight. And if you get in our way, we will fight you too.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like at that point, Rhodey was still kind of on the fence until he heard that. And then so I was like, it's fucking Vision, Scarlet Witch, Falcon and Cap are all standing here like telling Thunderbolt Ross, my boss, like, we will fucking deck you. Get the fuck out of our way. We need to save the world. And that's when Rhodey's like, yep, fuck him. And then he's like, yep, that's a court martial. Like, I know that's, you know, like we talked about last time, like the gallows humor kind of thing. Like, these guys are involved in these like big world ending battles all the time. So like, yeah, they crack jokes during this. It's what's going to happen. You can tell you keep yourself sane. But like, this dude's had such a hard-on for the military throughout this entire series, and then at this point he's just like, oh, dude, I don't fucking care. Cap doesn't care, why should I?
Yeah, dude, the Nomad, the man without a country.
Yeah, yeah, I love that they played that up a little bit.
Because that was always the best part about Captain America, is that, like, he wasn't, like, blindly patriotic towards America. He was about, like, what the ideals America was supposed to stand for. It's also really interesting to see how different things felt after Civil War, specifically. Because, like, suddenly all these people that were, like, good friends and stuff are now, like, kind of, like, at arm's distance, like... Yeah, we're co-workers kind
of
thing.
That's you see a lot more of the fallout of Civil War right here at the beginning. Like Tony's reluctance to call Cap. The Avengers broke up. What, like a band? and then later, like, he gets a hold of Mark Ruffalo, the Bruce Banner, gets a hold of Cap, and they all meet up and they go to Wakanda, like, to prepare to do all that stuff, which again, can't stress this enough. All of this takes place over the course of like a day.
Mm.
So like while all this shit's going on, like, yeah, the world's reacting quickly, and but they don't have time to get the whole band together because like Thanos is like just snatching these stones. That was Thanos' whole thing. I feel like, you know, there's all this talk about why he waited as long as he did. He knew there were stones on Earth, and the last time he sent someone to Earth with an army,
he got nuked.
And one little tiny bit of research on that would, he'd be like, yeah, they got 53,000 more of those. Like, yeah, we're not just gonna fucking show up there with a bunch of ships, dude. Like, we're gonna get fucked up. So he knew he had to make his play quick, and he knew that other stones were on Asgard, and Odin would fuck his shit with a spear. As it starts right after Ragnarok.
Yeah, he had to wait for the Allfather to die.
Allfather dies, and he's like, I can grab the fucking space stone. We can show up on Xandar. I can just warp us in, grab the fucking power stone. I grab the power stone first. I could just show up and punch the shit out of everyone here. Grab the space stone. With the space and power stone, I can go anywhere and blow anything up. Getting the rest of the stones will be a relative breeze, but I still need to worry about the people on Earth. So I'm going to send my kids first.
See if they can find it without me.
Yeah, if they can get it to me first. And
then he figured that he could take on the fucking collector, no problem. So he was like, I'm going to go to nowhere and fuck shit up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he just went and fucking ruined that whole place.
Mm-hmm.
Hollowed out head of a celestial.
Oh, Cosmo's doing okay. The Wonder Pup.
Sorry to say, I think he's dead.
That whole
place was on fire.
Bro, Cosmo is like basically Charles Xavier in a dog body.
Unless him and Howard the Duck somehow got out.
I think he could.
You know.
Cosmo's a fucking powerful being.
All right, I'll allow it. If he just shows back up at some point in a credit scene, I'll be like, oh, nice, okay.
Yeah, you can have his puppies from like the Guardians of the Galaxy game.
Oh God, I haven't played it yet.
Oh, dude, that's a good story because it's like a mix of the comic book and the movie versions. So like they have like a really good like middle ground of it.
So yeah, we're coming up about on our halfway point here.
Okay, so. Infinity War, realistically, I think was one of the best Avengers films. I don't think it was one of the... Well, actually, no. I think it's definitely top five MCU. But, like,
yeah,
mainly because it was the one time they got to do the We Fucking Lost so effectively. They killed off everybody that wasn't an OG Avenger. They were just like... Boom, you got dusted. Everybody that's not fucking from the OG team or Rocket Raccoon, you're gone.
Yep. I took my nephew, was 7, 8 at the time, something like that. I took him after going to see it myself first because I went to the think I went to the 8 o'clock Thursday showing of this. We got in. And sat there gutted in the theater after watching it. The first time you watch fucking Spider-Man go, like, he gets the thing. You should have gone for the head. Like, you know, I'm just kind of speed running the end of this movie here.
Dude, you should have gone for the headline was the coolest fucking shit ever.
Nope! And then, yeah, it was so good. That scene with little Gamora was really good. Really fucking heartbreaking. I kind of wish I would have explained it a little more so that people would, the stupid theories that ran rampant.
It was like his conscience, basically.
And that, well, and that, that theory that kept running around was that that was where everyone went for the snap. He just went there first. But it doesn't make any sense because Gamora was there. She couldn't come back when they unsnapped anyways, same Black Widow. So it was cool artistically, but they just needed to explain it more. So I took my nephew to go see this, like the next day, cause Spider-Man is like his favorite fucking hero.
Oh God.
And I am an asshole of an uncle. And I sat there the whole time looking over at him like, here it comes, here it fucking comes. I don't feel so good. He's like, the look on his face when he asked me what's happening, it was like Tom Holland in the movie. I was just looking at him like, ha 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 ha.
Yeah, my brother had to lie to his son because he was like, yeah, no, Spider-Man will be fine. It's cool.
Nope. I was like, my nephew asked me, he's like, is Spider-Man coming back? I went, I don't know, bud. Maybe. Like, I'm assuming so because he's a cash cow, but like, in the story, you know, try explaining that to a 7-year-old, like the complicated economics that go into which character you're going to kill off. And that's why Quicksilver died when he did, like, because they don't want to pay for him.
Wrong kid.
Spider-Man makes so much fucking money that they can't just kill him off. Mm-hmm. He'll be back. But I didn't want to say that to him so that he could, you know, feel that little bit of existential terror at 7.
Right.
I fucking love how it ended, and it was just so fucking somber. The end credit scene, because they have to have it. Both of them were kind of,
They were like, yeah, of course. Like, yeah, like, where's Fury? Oh, cool. How's it going, Brie Larson?
Yeah. Wonderful. Oh, hey, it's Brie Larson. I mean, don't get me wrong. I did, how to put this? The shot of her talking to him, that was, I think it was like a bonus scene that they released later online when the fucking and like he gets the hammer and it flies right past and she gives him that smirk. He's like, I like this one. I fucking love that scene because those are the two Avengers I want to see just fucking duke it out.
All right, that'd be a really cool fight.
That would be a fantastic fight.
I think it'd be really funny if the next time we see Captain Marvel, she's just dating Rhodey for no reason and people are just like, hey, that happens in the comic books, just roll with it.
Oh, dude, Endgame. She fucking, be careful out there. It gives him that meaningful look.
Yeah.
I mean, they're already banging.
Within 5 years, they could have had a working relationship at absolutely. That point.
I mean, I totally assumed that that's what that was. So Endgame starts right back on the somber note. You see fucking Clint's family get dusted.
Oh my God, that shit's so fucking hurt. Because then you see like the little clouds of dust like going into the wind, dude. And like he's like running around, like, where are you guys at, kids? I'm like, oh,
boys. Yeah, dude, it was fucking heartbreaking. They did such a good job at showing the like the world reeling from the snap, and like, you know, it's one of those things. There's one of the inconsistencies for the MCU for me. That's kind of explained a little bit with, you know, the whole Avengers existing thing where New York gets fucking spanked, dude. Like so much of New York gets destroyed. And then all these other possibly world ending events just keep happening on Earth. And everyone's like, we got this. And then the snap happens. And it's like 5 years later, everyone is just fucking still in support groups. Fucking all the sports stadiums are just full of trash. Like the world is reeling hard. Cap is leading a support group. Nat's trying her best to hang on. Like everyone's out there trying to help, like, you know, police the universe. And Brie Larson has that really great line. Cap Marvel has that really great line later.
Where were you? And she's like, well, you know, the rest of the universe doesn't have Avengers.
Yeah, the things that are happening on Earth are happening all over, and fortunately, they don't have you guys. I think was one of the smartest lines they could have written in for this character of like, mm-hmm. this is why she's not here. Just space power punching everything. Like,
yeah, she's focused on space power punching other things
that are happening off camera, mm-hmm. like things that aren't important to the MCU at large, but this is why the character can't show up right now.
Right. Which, yeah, I feel like is definitely a respectable way to do it, because otherwise it's just like, oh yeah, the Superman punch the guy.
Yeah, exactly. They give that, and that's why she has an excuse to not be there. Whereas every other DC comic, I'm like, shouldn't Superman just come, like, grab this guy?
Realistically, he could.
Why does Green Arrow, like, have to deal with this superpowered ancient ninja guy with a sword when he is a very squishy mortal? And Superman could just show up and be like, taste the blade of my sword. Ting. Oh no, it's Superman. Guess we're done here, right, Arrow? And Arrow would be like, fine. Yeah, I guess we're done.
Well, it's like that Mitchell and Webb look fucking skit.
Angel, like, Summoner and the BMX Bandit.
Yeah, it's like the BMX Bandit's like, yeah, I could go down and like do a bouncing nollie down those boxes and then go and do a tail whip and take out the bad guys. And he's like, or...
and hear me out. Your plan is very good. But...
I could just summon an army of angels.
I could summon a whole horde of angels. Yeah, fine. No, we could do your plan next time.
it's that power scaling kind of thing.
Yeah, that just exactly. ends up
being so, like, ridiculous. That's why I'm glad that Captain Marvel could be sidelined in such a way.
Yeah.
And they could also show her holding her own, and then he fucking takes just the power stone out of the gauntlet because she's holding his hand open and fucking decks
her. That fight scene later, dude, when fucking 2014 Thanos headbutts her, that fucking look of just fucking pure rage and determination on her face right there. Oh, I love that scene. I would have an oil painting above that, above a fireplace, dude. She just looks so fucking powerful and defiant. That's the Captain Marvel I like before she turns into a fascist.
See, I don't even know if they're going to end up doing that with like how Secret Invasion is happening soon enough.
I think Secret Invasion happens before the Marvels, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I think that's what's going to set her off. Like, you remember how we got like... put on the suit in the first Avengers, and then we got like Civil War 0.75, where like I'm only gonna say this once. How about nuts? And then they throw us a shield. And I again can't stress it enough. Straight up Iron Man blasts Captain America in the chest through a glass window, like because he tried to break his computer, and stop a evil kill android from killing the whole world. But he broke his computer and he shot him in the chest.
Hell yeah.
That eventually leads to Civil War, which because of that fracture leads to the event of Endgame or Infinity War and eventually Endgame happening, and like the reconciliation and them coming back together as a cohesive unit is the only way they're able to beat Thanos. And even that is just fucking barely. They needed everyone, which is the culmination of the message of all of these. You need everyone. Every member of this team has to be present for this to win. Do you know why they lost both battles in Infinity War? Statistically,
because they weren't a full team.
Because Hawkeye wasn't there.
Yeah, okay.
They have never lost a fight when Hawkeye has been present.
Fuck yeah, Hawkeye.
Statistically, they win 100% of the battles that Hawkeye fights in. Even if Hawkeye gets injured, like the beginning of Age of Ultron. If Hawkeye is there, they will win.
Goddamn.
And then Hawkeye's like, I'm gonna take the house arrest thing and I'm gonna go like be with my family for the first time in ever and not have to worry about it. And they lose twice big.
Yeah. And then he's like, fuck this. I'm gonna go deliver out some fucking street justice.
Everyone.
Yeah. He just goes around to fucking kill different gang members for just years. He kills Scorpion in the fucking streets of Japan.
Did you see the lightsaber edit of that scene?
No, but that sounds awesome.
It's fucking sweet. Highly recommend any listener, after you listen to this podcast, go look up Hawkeye Endgame lightsaber scene on YouTube. It is fucking sweet. Anyways, he just goes out and is dealing out justice. At this point, we've Ant-Man has
came back from the quantum realm.
Yeah, came back from the quantum realm in a move that so many people were like, I think that's the dumbest plot hole in the movie.
Or,
no, or
it's one of the ones that fucking Strange saw and was like, that rat's cool.
That rat's the key to all of this. Yes, mm-hmm. That rat is the key. It is a time fulcrum rat. Mm-hmm. Like, without him stepping on that and Scott coming back and realizing 5 years was 5 minutes, we don't get Endgame.
Right, like, yeah. We don't get the time travel, like,
thing. It's not a plot hole if it needs to move the plot forward, and we have already established that 14 million other possibilities were canceled out for this one.
Like, mm-hmm.
I hated those people.
Yeah. Some people think that they're, like, smarter than, like, writing stuff, but then they don't actually think out
the critique. A writing team that has been doing this for a decade with one of the greatest fantasy overseers and, frankly, two of the greatest directors the MCU has ever had.
Yeah, the Russo brothers. The Russo brothers,
you know, they fucking knock it out of the park with everything they do at this point. Like, I've loved everything they've done. Fuck the Community. They've brought they did like two of the three episodes of Paintball.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget the other ones they did. But they also did Winter Soldier and Civil War.
Yep. Winter Soldier is still my favorite MCU movie of all time. Won't change.
And yeah, they knock it out of the park again with Endgame, and like the way they trickle everything through of like everything has to happen just so. In order to bring all this shit forward, you know, the rat's got to step on the thing, and then we got to meet up with Tony, who says no originally, and then they go to Hulk, and Hulk, like, that whole scene with Smart Hulk being explained away in, like, 18 months in the Gamma Lab, I put the brains and the brawn together, best of both worlds, like.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, the Hulk dab was funny. I'm fully
2023 Hulk dab.
2023 Hulk dab, making
next year
such a fucking dork. Yeah, next year. Holy shit.
Yeah, dude. And then Korg and Meek are going to be playing Fortnite still.
Oh, my God. That's true. I mean, everyone watch out. There's no way. Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah, I think it was funny. Like, it was like, what, like 2018, 2019 when that came out?
People won't still be playing that dumb baby game then.
The game won't be relevant in 5 years. I was definitely one of those people that's like, dude, how is it going to fucking keep relevancy at that point? But they are adding crazy amounts of IP.
Yeah. So yeah, we get what everyone knew was gonna happen. Time heist.
Mm-hmm. You want to do a time heist? It's not a time okay, I guess it is a time heist.
Well, no, it was that was the time sheet when he's like, you're talking about a time machine? No, I'm not talking about a time machine. I'm talking about a, like, yeah, it's a time machine. I know it sounds crazy, Scott. I get raccoons from an email. Nothing sounds...
get raccoons from an email.
It's been a long weekend, man.
I emailed some people. They gave me some raccoons back.
They came, it was pretty crawling cool. Out of the email. Ah! anyways, yeah.
Came out of my junk file.
Raccoons in my junk file. The trash folder. Okay, we're done.
But, yeah, so like you get Hulk coming in, fucking doing that bad CGI they put out in the theaters just so they could get extra money to be above Avatar.
Yep. That was the little scramble between Avatar and this for like highest grossing has just gotten to the point where it's just fucking two boardrooms with a dick measuring contest. And it's just like, just fucking stop. Stop re-releasing these movies. Fucking make the next ones. Right, fuck's exactly. sake. Yeah, like, but it keeps making more money. You're not putting that money into these movies.
Right.
These movies are costing you $150 million, and you're making $1 billion on each one of them. So, like...
It's like you can make an entire fucking MCU out of one of these fucking things. Is like, whole gross.
So we get time travel. They go to when they talk to Tony, though, it's him talking about when he's like, you want to do, like, what did you call it? And Paul Rudd gets kind of asked, like a time... Heist? A time heist, right.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that your entire plan for time travel and going back in time is based off Back to the Future? It's like, no. Good, because that would be bullshit. Like,
I love when like they're explaining it and fucking Scott just is like, wow, Back to the Future is bullshit,
Back
huh?
Back to the Future is a bunch of bullshit?
What?
Yeah, when they're naming all the different time travel movies.
You can't change your past. You can only change somebody else's past and end up with a different present.
I loved that Hulk was just yelling the rules of time. He might as well have locked eyes with the screen. Mm-hmm. And been like, here's the rules of time travel in our movie. This is how it works here. We're not fucking Terminator. Terminator 2, Time Cop, Hot Tub Time Machine, Hot Tub Time Machine. Even then, Rhodey's even naming all of those. Being like, yeah. We're not this movie. This is how time travel works in our movie. I don't want to see one fucking person on a fucking forum bitching about the way we handle time travel in a movie where Hulk exists at all.
We have gamma-infused blood man is big, strong, strapping man.
Who's fucking smart, witty, and strong now. He's everything the MCU needs. So,
like, fucking hell, dude. Like, there's no way in hell that some people can be so pedantic. But then again...
Well, they did, dude. Because, like, so, you know, no secret of the show. I'm a huge Doctor Who fan. And I became that way when Doctor Who introduced the fact that time travel... in a series means you listen to that series' rules on time travel. When that series breaks its own rules about time travel, then you get to bitch. But Hulk laid it out very, very clearly.
Right. Even the Russos, as soon as it came out, they were like, yeah, that's literally the
thing. That's how time travel works in this universe. Yeah. But what about the question? Shut up.
Shut up.
Shut the fuck up. Everything you need to know about time travel in the MCU was laid out by the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Then how did Thanos shut up? He did. That's how.
Yeah, Thanos is also a fucking hyper genius with some of the smartest people in the entire fucking universe working on his ship.
Yeah.
Remember Thanos when Rocket Raccoon looked at Tony Stark and said, yeah, you may be smart for an Earthling. You're
only a genius on Earth, pal.
Yeah. So, like, most of these people probably saw fucking Pym particles, and they were like,
I got a whole fucking tank of that shit sitting back here. It could shrink stuff? Cool.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, the time travel thing, I love time travel in stories, especially when they can just tie it up real nice.
Right.
Especially with the way that they were like, oh, we're going to play around with a little bit. Like, Loki disappeared with the fucking Tesseract while they were doing their time travel thing.
Oh, look at that TV show start off.
And they literally clip that branch the first scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
they bring him back into the fucking normal timeline and basically like, yeah,
no,
asshole.
We're not doing that. We're doing our own time travel story. So yeah, so it, you know, they do their whole time heist. Everyone goes and gets their thing. You get Rhodey and Nebula, which I thought was a weird pairing.
They're going to get the fucking power stone.
Power stone from Quill.
So he's an idiot, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. They have their little, like, I wasn't always like this, which I felt kind of like the girl Avengers fight in the first movie was kind of not earned because none of those characters really spent any time together on screen.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't earned. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, they didn't really know each other. So, like,
that whole, like,
yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Neither was I, but we play the hand, we're dealt.
It's like she doesn't know that his spine doesn't work.
I mean, maybe over that 5 years, because they're all on this, like, new Avengers team that Widow's put together to, like, police the galaxy.
But Nebula wasn't around for that because her and fucking Stark were floating around.
No, the 5 years later, no. Remember, her and Rocket were talking to Rhodey and Cap during that little hollow meeting.
Oh, yeah, I guess she would be technically part of the team with Rocket.
So, yeah, she's with
Rocket. Oh, yeah, that was before the five-year jump because then Morgan was born and whatnot.
Yeah. So, you know, you get that. That was wholly kind of unearned. And that's one of the first things in this that makes me be like, what the fuck? Because she gets her little, like, trip-trap, oh, God, they're in my other Nebula's in my brain. And, like, she knows that Thanos knows.
Yeah, how'd she Bluetooth the other Nebula?
Well, that one, they talk about how it's a quantum computer thing and them existing at the same time. If they're quantumly linked, then, like...
Oh, it's already the same coding.
Like, entanglement, yeah. Like, quantum entanglement. And I'll allow that to go off with them. You know, we also had this jar of pink stuff that shrinks people, so...
It's fair.
But my gripe is that she does that, and then she runs to go radio Clinton Natasha. So, like, why doesn't she just, like... Clint, Natasha, Thanos knows. And then when the blue beam grabs the ship, starts pulling him up, blow up the ship. And here's your motherfucking time travel thing. Get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
If you're not there to tell them where they are,
yeah, what are they
Thanos isn't going to know what the fuck is going on. He's going to get there and be like, oh, Quill's fucking knocked out. There's no Power Stone here. What the fuck?
Right. There's some fucking idiot that's passed out on a fucking place that's normally flooded.
Yeah. Like, it just, yeah, it was just silly to me. Why she stuck around as long as she did and like let herself get captured. Obviously, to let the rest of the plot of the movie happen, this is kind of the same pedantic annoyances like the rat stepping on the thing that those people have. But my whole thing is like, why didn't she try to escape? She just like that blue beam grabs her ship and she's just like, oh darn.
Oh, weird.
Here we go again.
That's very true. She just kind of gave up.
She did. And then so we get all the stones back. We had that great conversation between Hulk and the Ancient One. I really enjoyed that whole, like, why we fight conversation that they have of, like, Strange is supposed to be the best of us.
Mm-hmm.
I
love that was what changed her mind. He was like, yeah, no, Stephen Strange told me to come talk to you about it. And she was like, he gave it up willingly? And he was like, yeah. Okay, that changes fucking everything, because, like,
yeah,
if that was, like, his choice, fuck.
So, we get that. Tony gets to go have his closing moment with his dad, which is really sweet.
Yeah, it was very touching.
But, yeah, we got all the stones back. Oh, well, fuck, before I go much farther, Vormir happens.
Oh, where the suicide battle goes.
Yeah, the Clint and Natasha arguing over who's going to kill themselves, and... that was kind of a cool scene. I really liked the subtle nod that, Red Skull said, everyone's father's name except for Clint. It was a nice subtle nod to the comics, where he has a horrible relationship with his father.
Yeah. He said like son of like his mother's name, right?
Son of Martha or whatever. Not Martha. It wasn't Martha.
That'd be funny if it was Martha.
Edith. That was your name.
Why did you say that name?
And son of Edith. What? Because he knows your papa's name? And she's like, I didn't know.
Yeah, Ivan.
So they, yeah, they, the widow kills herself. Clint gets the stone. They all show back up. They've all got it. They build their own glove in like, I don't know, couple hours, it looks like.
Yeah, Stark Tech even.
Stark Tech glove. Now, obviously, they would have taken the chopped off arm of Thanos and like known how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they maybe contacted Eitri, like, hey, you know, like, email me those blueprints, dog.
There's also a theory that the arc reactor was basically made to replicate what the Tesseract was. So it's basically powered by what would be Infinity Stone power anyway. So like the arc reactor is just basically like an offshoot of like what
that would be.
It's just a theory though.
I kind of like that. I mean, yeah, like they show he says like, you know, Thor goes to try to put on the gauntlet. And he's like, the strongest Avenger. And he's like, that gauntlet's channeling enough energy to light up a continent.
Right. And Hulk is like, it's mostly gamma. So it's like, I was made for this.
I did like that. A lot of people are like, oh, that's why Hulk is there. It's like, yeah, that's why Hulk's there. Like,
yeah, Hulk is radiation, dude.
Yeah, he's radiation blood guy, like we said. Yeah. So he puts a glove on. I love the fucking... everyone's telling him to take it off while he's like screaming at it. And Cap is the one to be like, no, wait. Like, that was a really awesome callback to his origins of like Hulk's trying to do something for the greater good. And it's destroying him physically. And he's in a shitload of pain. But he knows that Hulk wants to go through with it. And everyone's trying to tell him to stop. And Cap's like, just fucking wait, guys.
All right, let the super soldier for a second.
Another cool bit was when Tony puts up his shield in front of Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
It's holographic, like a force field type shield, because the last time he thought Thanos, he used the nanotech and it got sliced up real good.
Yeah, and it also fucking left him with like weak points in all of his armor. Left him vulnerable to getting stabbed in the side.
Yeah, so we get the, shit. Okay. We're coming up on time here. So we get, all our stones back. We do the snap. Hulk brings everyone back. For some reason, Clint had been paying for his dead wife's cell phone bill for the last 5 years so that she could call him as soon as they got back.
Mm-hmm.
That is what is called a plot hole. They don't explain that at all, how she's just able to, like, pick up the phone and call him, like,
Yeah, I think it was like a company phone. Like Shield was just paying for their shit, so like he didn't have to ever cancel it and didn't ever think to tell them.
Okay, I had thought of that because now that we know that she's Mockingbird, okay,
I'll allow it. She's age 19. She deserves the world.
Okay, yeah, I'll allow it. Okay, so then Thanos has shown back up. Other Nebula travels through time, brings him back. I fucking love how 2014 Thanos is the epitome of a hypocrite with one of his first lines. And he's just like, they suspected nothing. He's like, the arrogant never do. And he sets his stone or sword down. He puts his helmet on it. And she's like, what will you do? He's like, I'll wait.
Yeah, I was like, motherfucker.
You suspect nothing. You just talked shit about arrogance. And here you are being an arrogant prick.
Mm-hmm.
And you get got for it.
Well, because he was a different kind of Thanos, man. The one we saw in Infinity War was like at Warrior a zen monk. Point. Yeah. Where he was like, this is my holy duty to fucking save.
Yeah, 2014 Thanos is pure genocidal maniac.
Mm-hmm.
The whole battle takes like 45 minutes. We can't cover all the cool bits. The one bit
ladies get it done, kill mode. I'm just trying to list off the ones that are like the memorable moments. The
big one for me is that you see the true, now that we know where it leads, Scarlet Witch fighting Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
She starts pulling him apart with her magic,
like each bit of armor,
make him suffer. If she had just compacted him into a little ball, we're done. We're good. Fight's over.
She could have too.
She just wanted to torture him because she wanted him to feel pain. I feel like that is the first inkling of like, oh, she's gonna be evil.
Mm-hmm.
So get that awesome fight like we mentioned earlier. Fucking that just awesome shot of fucking Captain Marvel getting headbutted and her just giving him that fucking look back. God, it was so cool.
Yeah, she was fucking kicking ass. I love the fact that she brought down the Dreadnought ship.
Yeah, just comes flying in. Yeah, Friday, what are they shooting at? Something has entered the upper atmosphere. Female Werner Herzog is the voice for some reason.
Female Werner Herzog.
Oh, God, don't get me going again. Tony ends up with the stones, as we all know at this point. If you don't, again, why are you listening? Why have you been listening this whole time?
Right. This is just spoilers on spoilers at this point. This
Tony
is
the gets episode the stones and his final full cognizance words.
I love it. Fucking Thanos is taking it. He's just like, fuck you. I am inevitable.
Tink.
Yeah, it doesn't do nothing. He looks at the back of his hand. He's like, I should have realized that I didn't power up.
I rewatched it earlier, and there, the way he's standing, because I know it's all CGI and stuff, he should have seen that there was no stone in the thumb.
Mm-hmm.
But again, arrogance. He just wanted to use his cool line. And then Tony gets his, like, an I am Iron Man, snaps his fingers.
So fitting that that's the last thing he has to say.
Falls apart. Now, there was two scenes that were cut out right here.
I'm glad the kneeling one got cut because it was like
really glad that one got cut.
Honestly, it's kind of implied.
It's implied, and it doesn't need to be shown. It would have taken away from the funeral scene.
Mm.
And another one was where he was going to meet older Morgan in the Soul Stone, and that would not have made any. It would have made Thanos meeting little Gamora make even less sense.
Yep.
So I'm really glad they cut that out.
I mean, it could have been like more of like a reflection of like what you love most in life too, because like
could have been
that was one of his biggest gripes, was the fact that like Thanos like loved Gamora, even though he was a terrible father to her. Like he loved her in the way that he could. Like that was like the only way he knew how to love somebody. Make them a proud warrior at any cost.
So yeah, we get the death of Tony Stark. Cap goes to put the stones back and Mjolnir back. Stays behind with Peggy, hands the shield over to Sam.
I love that it was in a fucking artist bag.
Yeah, that was cool.
As if instead of like him being in the military, he just went off and like just drew for the rest of his life.
I 100% follow the fan theory that there was already a Captain Rogers protecting the world during that time, and what he went back and was a different kind of Rogers. To help raise the youth of America, and that he was back and became Mr. Rogers. Hence the artist bag.
That would be really funny.
I choose to believe that and make that my headcanon.
Well, I mean, Cap was always an artist because, like, ever since the first one, you know, like, he had that fucking drawing of him as the monkey on the unicycle.
Oh yeah. I like the theory that like the world needed a Mr. Rogers, and that turns out that Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, was actually Steve Rogers in that world.
Right, because Steve Rogers was already a person, so he had to make up a new person.
Yep, and became Fred, and he was like, I still want to help people.
That'd be funny.
And then, yeah, we get, like, you know, the what's next kind of thing of the MCU, and much like a very confusing story about time travel, this here, our most latest episode... If you want to hear what happens next in the MCU, you got to go all the way back to the beginning of the podcast and jump into WandaVision.
Oh, that's true. Shit.
Yep.
Because we did like the Mortal Kombat stuff and then we went into WandaVision. Yeah.
So, yeah, there it is, guys.
Also, I want to say one thing. The line between Captain America and the Winter Soldier before he leaves is one of the best callbacks ever, and I will fight anybody.
Don't do anything stupid.
Lay it back. How am I gonna? Or how could I? You're gonna take all the stupid with you.
Oh, I love that line.
It's great.
And that, like, that his, like, that's the whole theory. Did Bucky know that Cap was gonna? He absolutely did, because he did. It's gonna be all right, Buck.
And in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, he literally was like, "Sam, if Steve or I even knew." The amount of pressure it was to give somebody that kind of thing. And like, especially somebody in your position, like he was like so remorseful. Cause he's like, neither of us even thought about like how it would mean to somebody.
World, you see the world through a different lens than we'd ever be able to look through. I think was what he said to her.
Yeah. And he was like, we just thought it just made the most sense. Like it was just, who else is going to do this? Like
we didn't see Captain America handing the shield to a black man. We saw Captain America handing the shield to the best man for the job.
Exactly. He saw Captain America give Captain America a shield.
Like, one of the things that I've always, I loved, it was a comic back in the day talking about this girl was like, oh, I wish a guy would treat me like someone like Captain America treats women. He goes, you know, Captain America was from the 40s, right? She's like, yeah, why? And he's like, you really want me to treat you like someone that treated their girl back then? She's like, yeah, why? He's like, shut up, you yakety broad. She's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm being realistic. So no, Captain America would never hit a lady.
Right, yeah. He's too scrupulous.
So there it is. We are about to roll right into overtime here. We have to go and get ready for a show.
Aw, yeah.
Do a little bit of practice before the last Bog Rant show, and then officially Bog Talk will be Bog Talk because we're recording it in the bog, not just because of Bog Wraith.
Uh-huh, exactly.
This will be the last episode recorded while Bog Wraith is a thing.
Oh, dude, that's wild. So RIP Bog Wraith.
RIP Bog Wraith, guys. Make sure to go check out the Bandcamp if there's still shirts available. They're going to be super fucking cheap by the time you hear this. So make sure to get on there and grab one of them. And the next time you hear from us, we will probably be working on a new project music-wise. But we will still be here once a week. Same bog time, same bog place.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be having our buds in Lost in the Dark. Fucking helping us rip through the multiverse soon enough here.
Multiverse Murder Fest is on its way, guys. Probably next couple weeks here, you'll be hearing that first episode. And then after that, it will be the whole summer events. It's going to be a fucking fun one, you guys. Make sure to pay attention to all the social medias that we post all that stuff on. Follow us on any service that you listen to us on. YouTube, iTunes, fucking Deezer.
Get on Deezer
and follow us. I would love to see, like, just start a Deezer account with, like, a fake email and follow us and listen to episodes just so people be like, why do people listen so much Bog Talk on Deezer? And then Deezer will give us money.
Bro, Deezer exclusive.
Get that Deezer money! As always, guys, thank you so much for sitting and listening to us talk about Marvel stuff. We love it, and we love you guys.
Always.
Head over to those socials. I am, it's not even pitching because we're going to have to change the socials pretty soon.
Dude, right? I've been trying so hard to think of like what I'm going to put as my new social tag because like...
I think I'm just going to go with BogTalk_Mike. I'm already, like...
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much just a lateral talk to what you got. I'm already
Bog Wraith, BogTalk_Mike. And if that's not it, then listen to the next couple episodes when I actually decide what I'm going to change on my social
stuff. Right, and for the time being, I'm still Alexander the Wraith on most social media platforms.
And again, if that's different when you go to look it up because you're listening to this 5 years in the future, you can listen to the next couple episodes to figure out who we are now.
Right, yeah.
Until then, everybody, though, thank you very much, and we will see you next time.
Good night.